If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
In Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" I know that's bad syntax, but just go with me. And they said, "Some say you are John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, and others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." You see, these were people in Jesus's day that believed in reincarnation. That's why the disciples asked Jesus when they encountered the man born blind. They said, "Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he may be born blind?" Jesus said, "Nobody. You're about to see the glory of God." Now, you theological people, my Bible thumpers, I thank God for you. But that doesn't mean God made the man blind. It means that God let it happen because he knew what he was going to do. All right, now I need you to grab this, because this is going to be dynamic and supernatural, and some of you might want to get up and run down Cheltenham Avenue. Jesus said, "Nobody sinned, but the glory of God is about to be revealed in this person." It speaks to the sovereignty of God, but it also sets you up for the supernatural. You must now begin to put this in your mind as you change your mind about God, because God allows a bad thing to happen. He is setting you up for a supernatural deliverance. He does not cause the bad thing. He factors it in. Y'all don't hear me. Lord have mercy. The purpose of the miracle is to reveal Christ. When the boy gets his sight back, people begin to inquire as to who did this to you. He says, "Jesus of Nazareth." They said, "He's a sinner." He said, "I don't know about that. This is what I know. I know I was blind, but now I see." There are people telling you, "Stay out of that church on Cheltenham Avenue. Ain't nothing going on up there. Lambert ain't right." You say, "I don't know about that, but I know I once was bound, but now I'm free." Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" Apparently, there has been some discussion, and that discussion has reached the ears of the apostles. They give him an informative answer. "Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Others, Jeremiah." He says, "Hold on," in verse 15. "I need to know if the opinion of the masses has formed your opinion. Who do you say I am? I don't care what they think about me, but I want to know if they have caused you to change your mind about me. The fool says there is no God, but what do you say? They say that God doesn't care, but what do you say? They say that God lacks power, but what do you say? Peter, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Whoa! You can't get that revelation unless it comes by the Spirit. And he only gives it to people whose minds are open." Ah, glory to God. The God that we serve is not a failure. The God that we serve is not limited, nor is he weak. I don't care what you're going through. My God is more powerful than what you're going through. God has more power than the president. He's greater than the Congress. He's greater than the mayor. He's greater than the criminals. He's greater than the Department of Welfare. He's greater than the banker. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. But you cannot allow the culture to convince your mind. You must break free and allow the Holy Spirit to show you who Jesus is. Jesus takes his disciples into a Gentile territory here in Matthew 16. They were in the region of Caesarea Philippi. This was a town that's about 120 miles from Jerusalem. And this particular city has been constructed for Augustus Caesar and by Alexander the Great. It is a town that he's constructing to honor Caesar as well as create a place for pagan gods. There are three gods that are identified here in Caesarea Philippi. It is a center for Baal worship. First, it is the Greek god Pan that is identified there. Secondly, Herod the Great has also built a temple there to honor Caesar outside of the city itself, honoring Caesar. Herod the Great decides to build a great temple. It was in the midst of all of this superstition, all of this religious idolatry, that Jesus says, "Who do people say I am?" He knows that the influence of these idols will touch the populace. He knows that they will draw conclusions about me based upon the socialization they have with their gods. But he is boldly declaring that these opinions need not darken your opinion of me. That means, child of God, in the midst of an ungodly world, in a country like United States of America that is not a Christian country, you and I ought to shine like lights, because we will not allow an ungodly world to shape our view of our Holy Father. Who do you say that I am? Has the culture caused you to miss your Jesus because you have framed him by the cultural awareness? Have you been hurt in church and now you think God is miserable because pastors seeking their own glorification have harmed you in the process of trying to be great? Do not abandon God because people have represented him improperly. In fact, get closer to God. I went to the bank and I took some money to deposit. And the teller knows me. And she was going through my deposit. And I noticed that she kept playing with a $5 bill. My antenna went up. I was wondering why she kept fondling that $5 bill. She kept feeling it, looking at it, and feeling it, and then picking up another one and rubbing it. I got offended. I've been banking here for 20 years. "Where you checking my money?" She said, "Pastor, this is counterfeit." I said, I got it from a saint. So one of y'all called themselves blessing the pastor. No, it wasn't from Bethel. So I said to her, I said, "Come on, nobody counterfeits $5 bills." She said, "Yes, they do." I said, "How do you know?" She said, "I go by the feel and measuring it to a real one." I don't know about the rest of you, but God always speaks to me through natural stuff. He spoke to me while I was standing at the teller window. He said, "That's just how the world tests my people. Because they will call all of us counterfeit until they see a genuine." Don't be offended when they test you. Don't be offended when they test you. When they do little things to aggravate you to see what your response will be. Don't be offended. They're just testing you. It's like the terrorists who walked into the prayer meeting, pulled up their AK-47s and said, "Everybody against the wall." All of them backed up against the wall, and the leader said, "I want all of you that are not real Christians to leave." Now, they were all in there praying. They chambered around and said, "I want all of you that are not real Christians to get out. We're going to save your lives." Two-thirds of the folk ran out. The Christians stood there, bold. Man took his rifle and laid it down. They looked at him as if to say, "What are you doing?" They said, "We want your Jesus, but we wanted to get rid of the phonies first." We only wanted those who are willing to die for their Jesus. Change your minds. In Mark 5, verse 24, says Jesus went with Jairus, and a lot of people followed him, and they pressed him. King James says throng. They pressed him, who had an issue of blood for 12 years. She was hemorrhaging for 12 years. She had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had. She didn't get better, but Mark writes it, rather grew worse. Verse 27, when she changed her mind. Verse 26 said she had gone to all the doctors thinking they could help her. But verse 27, she changed her mind. She heard of Jesus. And so she said, I'm going to try him. Now watch this. She didn't make an appointment, so he doesn't know she's coming. She doesn't have to fill out a form or bring an insurance card, because he doesn't know, nor his staff knows that she's coming. She comes in a very unostentatious position. She's not showy. She's bowing and coming behind. And what pushes her was verse 28. She had declared in her mind that if I touch his clothes, I shall be whole. See, when you change your mind, miracles naturally happen. It's a paradoxical term, natural miracles. But you and I are seated in the heavenlies. That means miracles are natural for us.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1216P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. Here's what he does. He won't get you to sin, but he desensitizes you to holiness. After watching the devil's stuff all week and enjoying it, you cannot come in here and lift your hands and worship God. The Bible said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? They that have clean hands and a pure heart. You'll sit there and say, oh, the praise team ain't moving me. No, no, it's you that are dead to the praises, because you've allowed Satan to fill your mind with all manner of ungodliness. You become the cesspool of the devil. You become ignorant of the devil's devices. He can't take salvation from you, but he can mess up your fellowship.
Be inspired to strengthen your relationship with the Lord and become the leader you were called to be when you read Bishop Lambert's new book, The Christian and the Culture. It is Bishop Lambert's desire for believers to recognize the importance of continuing to seek God despite facing the obstacles of today's culture. This encouraging publication will challenge you to reevaluate your life as a follower of Christ and renew your faith in the Lord. Visit Amazon.com or ChristianandTheCulture.com to purchase your copy of this compelling writing from Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. For more information, call 215-885-2585.